The Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Trevor Maddich, who is brought to you each week by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, Cam Ward has taken 11 sacks in his first two NFL games. We can place blame on Cam Ward. We can place blame on the offensive line. I do want to ask you about the offensive line because, look, when a quarterback gets sacked, a lot of blame falls on that offensive line. Through two games, are you seeing anything from this offensive line, keeping in mind that J.C. Latham did not play on Sunday? Are you seeing anything from this offensive line that gives you any sort of encouragement that it is improved from the offensive lines of the recent past in Tennessee?
Actually, Adam, yes. Absolutely, especially from game one to game two this year, from Denver to this one against the Rams. They lost both games. The offensive line wasn't great in either one of them. Not having J.C. Latham at right tackle is a game changer, a massive game changer. But overall, I think the offensive line, you can see light at the end of the tunnel here. In this game, for example, against the Rams, you know, the running game actually went pretty well. Tony Pollard ran for 92 yards. And if you take away his long run of 10 yards, because sometimes you run for 92, but you get 60 yards in one run, that throws off the yards per carry. If you take away his longest run, he still averaged over 4 yards per carry, Pollard did. Well, the offensive line was blocking well, even with the replacement right tackle, John Ajukwu. And then the five sacks this week, there are two of them that I think I would definitely put on the offensive line. One was over Ajukwu. The other was on the other side over left tackle Dan Moore. And they both happened for the same reason. I mean, it was just a straight edge rush. They got beat around the corner both times. And what they did was they took a good set to start with, but then when the defender started to slap their hands, they stopped their feet. And so the defender got the edge, and they couldn't get out there to stop them. And both guys, Ajukwu and Moore, if they set correctly and set out wide enough, they both did really well. It was when they stopped their feet momentarily that they had trouble, and that's something that hopefully they can get coached out of them. But from a standpoint of those two sacks, those are definitely on the offensive line. Then you've got three other sacks. One of them, I think, is when Cam rolled to the right and he ended up running out of bounds about a yard short of the line of scrimmage. So that's technically a sack. One of them was John Ajukwu, where he had a chip on that side. So the running back, Tony Pollard, came over and slammed into his man from the outside. And when you get a chip, an offensive tackle is going to set slightly inside to make room for that back to come over and make that hit. Well, when he set slightly to the inside, Pollard hit the edge rusher and then left. And Ajukwu's balance was kind of off, and the edge rusher burst around the outside. Now, you have to be able to stop that. But at the same time, sometimes getting a chip right is not as easy as you would think. And then the other sack, the fifth one, was when Cam dropped back to pass, and there was a big blitz, and it was picked up. Now, the center was being pushed kind of back a little bit. The center was kind of struggling, but he still had his guy. Cam freaked out, and he ran up to the left and into the guy that Lloyd Cushenberry was trying to block. And he didn't have to go anywhere. He could have either thrown the ball from a pocket that was plenty good enough, or he could have left, but instead he ran to darkness. He ran right into the guy that Cushenberry was trying to block. And so I don't know that you always blame the offensive line for every sack. Overall, I think even without J.C. Latham, you saw improvement with the offensive line. Are they where they need to be? No. But I think that it's unfair to say that they were completely awful when you just look at the sack statistics and the points that were scored.
Trevor, earlier we were talking about Brian Callahan, who, of course, is under fire from the Tennessee Titans fan base after the 0-2 start coupled with last season. And this was the question we were asking each other and all of our listeners, and I want your answer as well. We were assessing Brian Callahan's play calling for Cam Ward. I would love your assessment of that, and if there's anything that you wish Brian Callahan would do more of to accentuate Cam Ward's strengths.
I think he's actually calling plays as well as can be expected right now. the way that you get a rhythm as a play caller is when you convert third downs. Now you got another set of downs, you can keep on a rolling, which means you call a play, then you call a counter off of that play, then you call a pass off of the counter. And these are things that you can do when you're not going three and out, if you string together first downs. And in the first game against Denver, they completed 14%, 14-1-4 of their third down tries. And in this one, they completed 40%, which is actually the minimum you would want for winning football. But at the same time, they weren't able to do as much as they would be able to do in terms of sustaining drives, especially at the end, because they had so many sacks and they had so many penalties. Now, penalties aren't like turnovers, where if you have a lot of penalties, it's almost guaranteed that you're going to lose a lot of games, right? But when you're a team like the Titans, you're not good enough to overcome those penalties. And so from the offensive side, when you're pushed back because of a false start, when you're pushed back because of holding, something like that, now you've got to overcome that yardage to get that third down converted. And so I think overall, when you look at what Brian Callahan did in terms of play calling, he saw that he was having trouble with the pass rush of the Rams for a variety of reasons. He knew that he had a backup right tackle over there. And so he called a lot of rollouts. He called a lot of play action passes that would move the pocket either a little bit or a lot. He had chips that would go in to help both sides, by the way, from time to time. And he called a lot of quick passes. And I think this is one of the things that Cam did really well, was that he got the ball out very quickly. And part of that was self-preservation, because he knew if he didn't, he was going to get smashed. And so I think moving the pocket, calling plays that would get a guy open quickly for Cam, was about all that Brian Callahan could do. And he couldn't really do a whole lot more. I remember when I first started broadcasting, my head coach with Washington was North Turner, and he had gone on to be the head coach at the Chargers, and now I was broadcasting, and I went out to do a Chargers game for Fox. And so I went out early to practice like Wednesday, and I'm talking to Norv about his play calling and what he was planning for the game. And he said that four games ago, he ran a play so that his upcoming opponent this week would see that play being run, and they would practice for it. And he had a counter to that play to put in for the first time ever in the game that they were playing that particular week. And this is the kind of thing that good play callers do. They put their personnel in position to be able to succeed based on their strengths and limitations, and they set up the defense to then hit them with a counter. But you can only really do that consistently and well if you string together a lot of first downs. And so, you know, that's one thing that I think that Callahan is showing, that he is growing as a play caller. But I think his team needs to be a little better at executing so he can continue to get into a rhythm.
We'll talk with Trevor Maddich of ESPN, talking the Tennessee Titans coming off their loss versus the LA Rams. Now, with that being said, Trevor, the temptation, I'm starting to hear it, the temptation or the allure of, hey, let's open it up for Cam, let's do this. They need to call more downfield plays. How important is it going to be for Brian Callahan to stick to the development in the process of his quarterback? Because yes, you've seen him throw a 40-yard pass across his body that was a 9-yard touchdown. I'm gonna keep on saying that, Adam. There was a 9-yard touchdown. Yes, he scrambled and made some great plays out of the pocket. I get that. But that doesn't necessarily mean he needs to pass the ball more. And what I don't want to see from Brian Callahan is, okay, let's start to open it up from this young man. No, continue to run the football and let that be the determining factor whether you're going to open it up more or not.
Yeah, I agree with that, Derek, because he's got to adhere to the Hippocratic Oath of quarterback coaching, and that is first do no harm. The worst thing they can do with Cam Ward right now is to put him in position where he might be able to do a little more to help him win games because they're going to throw the ball down the field a little more, but also then to expose him to failure, expose him to getting hit in the pocket, to having turnovers, to, you know, watching the pass rush now because it takes longer for those deeper routes to develop and things like that that he will then have to unlearn later. And this season, really, they would never say this, but I think we can agree. If you guys disagree with me, let me know. But I think we can agree that this season is all about the development of Cam Ward in year one. Yep. And so they need to do everything that will be best for Cam and then do the best they can for winning games and stuff like that around that, instead of exposing Cam and still probably not winning enough games to get to the playoffs, or at least not to go deep into the playoffs anyway. So I agree. They should stick to the plan. I think so far the plan has been good. You've seen Cam improve from week one to week two. You see his confidence, and you also see a budding deep connection with Alec Iomanner as well. So let's see how that goes. You know, he threw a beautiful pass to Iomanner on the right sideline, and it was kind of a vertical throw, but it was like a fade where it was a quick release. The ball went high in the air, and the ball was caught, I don't know, 15, 20 yards down the field, something like that. But it wasn't like he was standing back in the pocket waiting for something even deeper to unwind. And so I think as the coach learns what his receivers can do and what Cam can do, they'll be able to get more stuff put in to push the ball down the field. In the meantime, remember, first do no harm to the development of your young quarterback's confidence.
Trevor Maddich is with us from ESPN. Trevor, I got two college questions for you, one on Tennessee, one on Vanderbilt. So did Tennessee, like we were talking before you came on about just maybe how you look at things compared to what you might have said in April, where you might have said, hey, probably not a playoff team. Did they show you enough that they could be a playoff team after the performance against Georgia?
Yeah, Willie, I thought they absolutely did. I mean, Tennessee in the loss was magnificent to Georgia. And part of the reason is Joey Aguilar, quarterback. I mean, he threw a lot of deep passes in the first couple of games, but not against the highest quality competition. And the big question was, will he be able to do it against Georgia? And he absolutely did. And remember, that's one of the two things that this Tennessee offense needs to succeed at the highest level. One is the quarterback to hit the deep passes consistently. He's doing that. And when called upon to run at hyperspeed, which is not all the time, but sometimes, run the offense and get him in and out of one play to the next at hyperspeed correctly. And he's shown that he can do that. And so I think, you know, we look at what Aguilar did against Georgia. He was just magnificent. And, you know, the defense struggled, but at the same time, people forget, I think you guys don't, but I think overall fans didn't realize or didn't remember that Tennessee had lost both of their starting corners to injury. And so they were dealing with backup corners, and that changed a lot of things that the defense could do, especially as they get those corner situations shored up. You'll see Tennessee performing at a better level on that side of the ball, and I think Tennessee is better this year because of that than they were last year, even though they don't have Dylan Sampson at running back.
Trevor, the line on the Vanderbilt-South Carolina game was going down throughout the week, so a lot of people suspected that Vanderbilt would have a chance to go in there and do well. What surprised you, though, the most about Vanderbilt's performance at South Carolina?
I think the dominance of the defense. So I get it that South Carolina quarterback Lenora Sellers went out late in the first half with injury, but at the same time, the defense was phenomenal all game long. You know, they did a great job against the South Carolina rush. They did a great job overall. I mean, they only gave up 7 points in this game. And so, yeah, there was a backup quarterback playing for the entire second half for South Carolina. I get that. But the defense at the line of scrimmage looked fantastic. And the offense as well. The offensive line looked really, really strong. We talk a lot about Diego Pavia. We talk a lot about, you know, Eli Stowers at tight end. But the line of scrimmage on both sides for Vanderbilt looks like a competitive SEC line of scrimmage. And that's what they'll need going forward. They've got two very winnable games in the next 2 weeks before they go to Alabama. And they're ranked now, Vanderbilt is. And Vanderbilt has a chance to be a real thorn in the side this year like they were last year to the better teams in the SEC.
Trevor Maddich has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He is brought to you each week by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters. Trevor, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Trevor Maddich on the program, 615-737-1025. We will react to what Trevor had to say. You can as well at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.